Thank you, Nico. Thank you for having this pleasure to present. Actually, it's more like a perspective. At the end, I will show you also some effects of some analysis. But at the beginning, I would like to say that I'm from the urban planning. I'm a trained architect. I'm working in the urban planning department, which means that our perspective is from top to down. So it looks a little bit different. But we really do appreciate an option to be here, to cooperate, because we do believe, I mean, we as a group who is here from my department, that this collaboration between different disciplines is really needed, and especially when we look from top when we design the city. So I would like to, this one, which one is working? Sorry. So the first picture, yeah, when we look at the small scale, which is the scale of a tree, we know that it's a good carbon container, but how it can affect a global climate. So I use a picture from a book, which is well known, when a mule said, "I'm so small," but the boy said, "But you will make a huge difference." And this is quite of a thesis that we want to present here, or I want to present when I think about a different scale. So from urban scale into the small window scale. Yeah. it has been, there has been done research by NASA when they were capturing the trees globally and trying to find out how much carbon do they not consume, but contain. And NASA has presented such an outcome that globally we have some areas where there is a container seals of carbon to for carbon to emissions. And so those small trees, when we look from a bigger perspective, they really make a huge difference. And this is how I understand we can translate lighting, daylighting, electric lighting into an impact on a global scale. Because it's the prediction of the global warming are very much combined with the CO2 emission. And it's not the question if, it's more the question how, which scenario will we follow? And unfortunately, probably all of us will be living in a hotter climate soon, as I see he presents in the report. And that means that we all, our efforts are, whatever we do, we just look which stage of hotter climate will we achieve. So I will start with the linkages just from the beginning, so of sustainable development, which was firstly announced in the Brundtland report in almost 40 years ago. And this was the foundation of how we understand sustainable development globally. So those three elements, social, environmental, plus economic, must be combined. Then different milestones were on a line, timeline. And the one that we especially should focus right now is a Kyoto Protocol, when different parties agreed on carbon CO2 emission reduction. And within the global perspective, we have also different perspectives due to the different regions. Then a couple of years later, we have a sustainable development goals defined by United Nations. And right now we find those SDGs everywhere. Yes, even in banking, in finances. So SDGs are like kind of a new Bible, I could say, for a future of the world. What has been also agreed globally, that we need to limit the global warming below 2 degrees. And this is also a global agreement called Paris Agreement. Nevertheless, the trends which are predicted are still showing us that we will have hotter climate, we will be growing, But where actually is more in south, and what is more important, we will live in a city. So it means that densification or the compactness of the city will grow. And there are also other issues, especially regarding the need of energy that is underlined. So how we can translate sustainable development goals into urban planning, so our disciplines, and that is why I will have a few, let's say, slides as well, to just to show you the background. United Nations have a special branch, which is Urban Agenda, and they just one after, year after Sustainable Development Goals, they presented at the conference Urban Agenda, which was a list of the new paths that we should follow. Different, as I'm from Europe, so different countries follow the this global agenda, or in Europe we have our European Urban Agenda, which also underline the priority themes where we should go, and it doesn't touch only, let's say, technical elements, but it also touches soft elements, like in sustainable development goals, for example, poverty. Then recently in the European Union, as we introduced the Green Deal, there was a need to present some kind of initiatives that will present a good example, so as we were just today, for example, explaining, and a new European Bauhaus was presented by Ursula von der Leyen. And this is like a collection of a good examples, like case studies, good examples to be followed in the future, and it's still on, of course, on the reproduction. And but coming back, so SDGs, so first report 40 years ago, and what was done within those 40 years, architects, urbanists were trying to look the key concepts, how to live and how to design in a new sustainable environment. So there are plenty of concepts, and for those of you who are maybe not the designers, so the concepts for us are like music, the rock music, as I listed here. We have different types of music that is called rock music, but they are a little bit different. And this is the same with the concept. So kind of a like 15-minute city can be very related to compact city, but it's a little bit different. Anyway, when we sum up what are the priorities of those all concepts, we can say that the human beings, like social inclusion or jobs and skills, so those soft elements appear in most of them, or such an element regarding energy or urban mobility. So those were the priorities, and we, or I put it some elements that we, I believe that are closer to low carbon or to high comfort. Then those priorities were, or can be transformed into components, elements regarding greenery, technology, architecture, and how we implement it. But everything is around right now decarbonization. So we live in a or we do believe that we are going to live in a decarbonized world. So to sum up those priorities and components, there are key issues or features or characteristics that will can be described in urban sustainable urban planning, and those are listed here. And during our workshops, we had a workshop, and we asked experts, our experts, how do they find which of them are connected with our task, and if this scale is this global, this urban big scale, can really relate to those urban components. And then, as we can see, half of it is really very much connected, as our experts have found out. So just to present you some pictures, how we interpreted this big scale into the indoors design, I want to show you the task, subtask D, the impact of densification on visual comfort and well-being, the task that we are here developing. So we want to study different regulations. We want to study successful neighborhoods, the ones that are like iconic ones, and the ones project that are kind of a copy-paste in different worlds, even different climates, to get the assumptions about the, what kind of a conditions, quality, daylight quality do we get. So that's the proposed workflow. But right now we have mostly 12 case studies from Europe, but it will expand during our workshops, we have noticed. And we will study not just the urban conditions, but we want to go into the room scale in specific like boundary conditions, we call them. So the best and the worst conditions in the in those case studies. So that's the list. And let me show you just a brief overview. So we right now just collected the data about the urban master plans, key regulations that shape, for example, here, Brunshoek in Lund. And then we go into the urban block scale and we analyze the parameters of urban block scale. And by using software, trying to simulate microclimate, wind, and daylight sun hours and daylight provision. So this is on the, let's say, urban scale, and then we look for the best and the worst case scenarios to go into detail. And of course, this is just work that we were able to prepare by now. But we want to answer some from our perspective crucial questions that can be later translated into the guidelines, which are, for example, what kind of functions are in those not daylighted spaces, or what kind of parameters, urban parameters shapes buildings, or what are the proportion, and so on, so on. So this kind of, let's say, maybe I hope we will also find out a nice graphic, as it was said before, we need to be communicative in a graphic way to find out the solutions. But that's not all. So this is the study that we do within the staff, but parallel we are also doing some other projects, and just to show you how this urban scale can go into the indoor scale and how it can reshape a settlement. This is the case of the densification of a block of flats, housing estate, very popular in Poland. So the densification and urban regeneration wave, it's like towards this kind of new densification scenarios that are going to be invested in Europe. So in this case, we asked, or I asked students to look for the regulation, urban regulations, and to find the scenarios of densification. And we had, let's say, three options, the low one and the most, the maximum one. And actually, the middle one was chosen. Of course, the developer may say, I will earn much more in the lower, the below scenario, but we wanted to look also on the well-being and human perception. And in this case, the views shape actually the urban composition. So some elements, some buildings had to be shifted, or they had to be reduced due to the quality of view of the people who used to live in the urban settlement. So this was, I'm finishing. So this is one study. When I was trying, it was 10 minutes and then I ran totally. Another project that I'm doing with Lund University, it's translating also one of those components of sustainable development, which is blue green infrastructure and the system of blue green infrastructure within the whole district. And then how it shaped the space in between the buildings. So the blue-green infrastructure of this different system, and then the daylight provision, because it's not like separate. We want to combine those two elements. So both having in mind the daylight simulations here, mostly in urban interior, then designing landscape. So just beyond, I want to just, if you allow me, one more minute, because it's very interesting. We in urban design discuss that sustainable development are not anymore enough to do work with. We should go beyond. We should think about degrowth, which may sound a little bit scary, but it's more about feeling, designing spaces or neighborhoods that are self-sufficient or a donut economy. So this is something that to come up. But to conclude, Of course, and this is a good information for us, for the task, and I hope also decision makers. Lighting and solar energy are kind of listed in ICPP report, one of the key elements to mitigate the climate. That's only the question of the trade-off. We also today discussed that it's some, we have to have trade-off, like I showed in, for example, in the, one of the projects. But both elements are very, very important in the mitigation. So there is a call for action. There is a call for interdisciplinary research and of course, different proposals, because we want to achieve blue scenarios of global warming, not the red one. And then, final, from the same book that I bought last time in London at our meeting, I hope that one day you will look back and realize how hard it was, and you cannot see now, and just how well you did. This is my, I hope that in the future we will be able to be so proud of it. Thank you very much.